on Charter Day, I didn't realise that it was like the big event for Retford, apart from having the road resurfaced and things like that. It was through talking with Jeremy, and I rang the guy who heads it up, and he's very kindly given us permission to be part of it in the park and to do whatever we want. And we've got quite a big space, so we've gone and bought two great big tents, 6 metres by 3. And the basic idea is that in one of them we'll have sort of a 15-minute show with puppets and some tricks and escapology and stuff like that to get the people in. And the other tent will have a display in for stuff that goes on in the church, missions, all the activities and things like that. And we're going to have a lot of giveaways, carrier bags with info in, literature. And, we need as many people as possible there so we can not only raise the profile of the fellowship here, but let Jesus be known, and get opportunities in the tent to pray for people and lead them to the Lord. So, let's make this Charter Day a great one. It's on a bank holiday Monday, the 3rd of May, I believe. And so we're in process now of... it was only in the last week or so that we actually got the go-ahead for actually doing something. That's why it's a bit late. But, hey, we can make it work, and we can make Jesus known in the town. Yeah? That's what we want. Hallelujah. I remember some years ago watching a debate with a number of politicians, and one of them was... it was a party I quite liked, actually. It was led by a guy called Screaming Lord Such, and it was the Munster Raving Loony Party. And I thought they should lead the country, you know. And he was asked a question, and he said, they said to him, Lord Such, if you get elected, what would you do about defence? He said, I'd creosote it. And I thought, it's good enough for me. Straightforward answers. And the day when all the politicians come in to get questions, or the candidates, it's not going to have this strange name. It's going to be called Candidates Question Time. Because what was that other name you just mentioned? I wouldn't know how to spell it, let alone. I mean, you put that on the poster, I mean, people will be going, what? You know? So we're calling it Candidates Question Time, which... fairly straightforward, isn't it? We'll see if they give straightforward answers. I'm going to read in Luke's Gospel and chapter 10, two sections, one at the beginning of the chapter, then one halfway through. And it says this: after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest fields. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anybody along the road. And then in verse 17 it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. And the Lord will bless his word. You know, the state of the nation is not good. You know, when you watch the news and see what's happening, it is not good. We're not living in a pretty place. The nation is in desperate need. There's a need, and the cry is a need for revival. That we need the principles
of the gospel establishing once again in the nation that we live. But also in the land, the church is not in a good state. And I believe that until the church becomes more concerned with the future of the lost than with its own future, we don't have much of a future. We've got to have a priority return again where we have a focus upon those who are living without Jesus and who are dying without Jesus. When Jesus speaks, he makes it very clear that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power and of authority. And the kingdom of God, is simply put, is this. It's his world invading ours to do in our world what happens in his. Because in his world there are no impossibilities. It's a kingdom of possibilities. The impossible is normal. Religion is a self-effort experience that is devoid of supernatural power. And yet Christianity, by definition, is a supernatural religion, a supernatural faith. We were at a training day a few weeks ago on mentoring, and the lady who was doing it was saying that in her church, the messages, the sermons, were a couple of minutes long, because that's how they did it. It was a two-minute sermon. And I said to those sat around me, I says, I've got more than 2 minutes of jokes in mind, you know, never mind a two-minute message. I mean, it's devoid of power when it's like that. I was at a meeting before I moved over with some leaders of other churches, of other denominations, and they were discussing baptism. And they were all on about sprinkling and this, that and the other. And I just waited for the moment, so I came in with my testimony of how I got saved. And I was baptized by immersion. And all these church leaders says, that's a very interesting point of view you have, Paul. And they carried on with something else. And I think it was, why? Because it was devoid of power. Because what people enter into where there's no power is they enter into self-effort. And everything about the gospel and throughout the Bible is full of supernatural power of the kingdom of God. And we cannot have a faith that is devoid of power. We've got to see that. And I want to encourage you this morning that we've got to be people who raise the bar and press into the things of God so that we are seeing and are becoming more aware of the supernatural element of the kingdom of God, not just in meetings, but in our own lives. Invading our situations that we face, where we invite the kingdom of God to come with its power to do what we are unable to do. And we've got to see that we are part of a supernatural faith. And yet so often it's become devoid, even in Pentecostal churches, it can become devoid of supernatural power apart from a token tongue. And God is more than just tongues. He's the God of power and authority. That's why he says to his disciples, I've given you power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. That is invested in you because faith is a supernatural. John chapter 3, when he talks about unless a man is born again, it's a supernatural action. It's not a natural thing. You cannot enter the kingdom of God naturally. It's a supernatural thing. You can't get sprinkled into the kingdom of God. You can't get confirmed into the kingdom of God. It's a supernatural element of being born again by the Spirit of the living God. The beginning is supernatural. God so loved the world that he gave. It's a supernatural thing. The faith is a supernatural faith. And folks, we've got to give ourselves a shaking so that we get back to seeing the supernatural element of what Christianity is all about. Because the world will never believe a church that is devoid of supernatural power. We've got to have a supernatural quest within our lives. and I'm preaching this. I'm not there yet, but there's a hunger. There's something in there that says, God, I want the bar to be raised because I want to press in for that what you have made available, so it becomes an everyday event, not just a thing for special meetings. When Christ died, it was a supernatural event. We celebrated it last week. It was a supernatural happening. It wasn't just a man being nailed to a cross and giving up the ghost. There was a supernatural happening that changed time and eternity. The powers of hell were demolished in that act. It was a supernatural thing. The power of sin and death and hell was demolished, so that those who enter in through a supernatural happening in Christ, death has no sting or power. It's a supernatural happening. When Christ rose, it wasn't just that he woke up in the early hours of the morning and says, oh, that's long enough in the grave, let's get out. It was a supernatural happening. The stone rolled away. The guards fainted. You know, when I get to heaven, I hope God has big screen TVs around that you can go to and press buttons and see replays of happenings in the Bible. You know, because I want to see the look on the soldiers' faces when that stone rolls back and Jesus walks out and goes, morning troops. Right? I bet there were some wet pants, weren't there? Because it was supernatural. He rose supernatural. He ascended into heaven. It was a supernatural happening. Can you imagine being there? William, I think, was speaking on it the other week, when he's there with his disciples 1 minute, and the next minute he's not doing the Indian rope trick, but he's going up, you know, next floor, heaven, you know, and he's up there, and the angels are there saying, this same Jesus will come in the same way as you've seen him go. It's supernatural. He says, wait in Jerusalem until the promise of my Father is given. The Holy Spirit comes for works of power. It's a supernatural happening that turned the city upside down. He pours out his Spirit on all flesh. It's a supernatural happening. And folks, we've got to get excited again that we're in a supernatural faith, in a supernatural encounter with a supernatural God who is for us, who says, I'm coming to make my home in you. Do you realise that at this moment in time, if you're born again, you've got a supernatural being living in you? The Holy Spirit. So the Christian faith is supernatural. It originates in the heart of God. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, we didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of power. What the world needs is a demonstration of power. I would love it on Charter Day if we could put up a banner or a board that says, we will pray for the sick. You know, sometimes the unsaved are more eager for prayer for healing and get it quicker than Christians. Honestly, they do. The power of God, it flows from the heart of God. So why are we not seeing it? You see, this is it's almost like my personal quest, this. God, I want to see more. I want to see what you're doing, what to read about. You've not just put it in there just for words, but we've got a supernatural God and a supernatural Spirit living within us. And, you know, so why? Why is it not being seen more and more as it should be? Why have so many things become devoid of power? The power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that there are a number of reasons that within our own Christian lives and within church, we can have more management than ministry. You know, we can manage things and sort of box everything in and have a program rather than knowing the flow and the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Managers organize programs, but a minister executes the commands of another. in an executive role, under somebody else's administrative control. And you and I, as believers, are called to be under the administrative control of Father God, so that He can operate through us, because He's the best manager of all. But sometimes we try to manage God. We try and work it out. We try and exclude certain things because they don't fit in with our idea, when God is so much bigger and beyond our imagination. And then if something comes along that seems a little bit strange, because it's not our experience, we put it down to the devil. And we need to have a confidence in God's ability to bless us more than the devil's ability to deceive us. Because God's ability to bless and work through you is greater than the devil's ability to deceive. And you know what? If you're earnestly seeking God, we need to understand that supernaturally is said that if you ask Him for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a serpent. If you ask Him for bread, you're not going to get a rock. If you've got a heart that seeks after God, God will give you what you're earnestly desiring. Don't be afraid, well, what if I get deceived? Have confidence in Him. Some people have got a bigger devil than a big God. God's a lot bigger. Remember, supernaturally, the enemy has got no power over you or me other than that what you give him, because I'm in Christ. We're called to be ministers. Each one of us is called to be a minister of God with power, to hear His voice. You know, I believe that is a big key in this day and age. It's for believers hearing the voice of God, for knowing what God would say. You know, I was getting my hair done some time ago, and not in Retford, and I was getting it done, and the where I go, they sort of give you a little head massage as well. It's great. So I sit back there, and this young lady was rubbing her fingers through my hair, and you know, with my wife's consent, and as she's sort of doing my hair and shampooing it, I'm thinking, God, just do something, you know. Right? She's laying hands on me, but let some anointing go back here. And so I just said, Lord, give me a word for her. You know, it's risky business. And God just dropped in a word, and I just said to her, says, do you know hairdressing wasn't your first choice of work, was it? She stopped. She said, how do you know that? I says, your first choice was to work with children. And I got her attention. And I went on to give her a prophetic word. And she went to talk to all the other staff and said, this guy, you know, and they're all coming out seeing who this, you know, this guru was, you know. I'm having my hair cut. And I was talking to the guy who owns the place last week. And he's just moved premises. And he says, the only person we've lost is the girl that you prophesied over, because she started to go into what you said. And he was aware of it, and so were the other staff. You see, why I'm saying that to you is look for opportunities to be supernatural where you are, because we need to be men and women who hear the voice of God. That's why Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. You know, it's not a mystical thing out there for the, you know, the chosen few. You have the right to hear His voice and then to check it out. Listen to obey His commands and then to know the difference between good ideas and God's ideas. I get lots of good ideas. A lot of them don't work. But when I get a God idea, it works. So we need to be men and women who are tuning in to what the Spirit of God is saying. God, what are you saying in this situation, in this thing at this time? Because God is looking. I believe there's a hunger in the heart of God to be involved supernaturally in every aspect of your life. He wants to be involved in your finances. He wants to be involved in your work. He wants to be involved in your home, your school, your education. We've got to be people that invite Him to come supernaturally in there to be all that He is. And let Him surprise you. Because you know what? He's full of surprises. is a good God. Then the other problem that we can have is that so often that we can have programs at the cost of power. We can have our own ideas, so we're running ahead of them. It's so easy for us to be men and women who are busy doing things that are good things and might even be in the name of God, but they don't produce anything. You know, the Bible says, you've sown much, but you've reaped little. Why? Because it's been a good thing, but it's not been the God thing. And I believe that God wants his church to come into a place where it's getting what he is saying and working with him in it. Find out what God is doing and get stuck into it. Not doing something and inviting God to bless it, but getting involved in what he is. Otherwise, it becomes like a game of football. You know, you can be in a football match and you can see a team and they've got all the possession. But possession doesn't win games, as Alex Ferguson will tell you. It doesn't win games. It's goals that win games. You can have 95% possession, but if the other team who have got 5% possession score one goal, guess who wins? You don't get any points for possession. And you see, the church, so often, we're great at possession, but we're not scoring many goals. I believe that God wants us to be men and women and to become a church where the bar is raised and where there's a pursuit within our hearts of hunger for the things that are on his heart, to be about his business. Father, whatever is on your heart, show me, that I might be about it. What did Jesus, the pattern of Jesus. I only do that which my Father in heaven is doing. I only say that which my Father in heaven is saying. Why? Because he was living in that place of communion. Now, okay, you can say, but that was Jesus. But you know, folks, you and I, throughout the Bible, we're given this call that we can hear the voice of God. If you don't know what to do, stop and ask him. And let that word just bubble up within you. You know, you've had those moments where you'll have been driving or doing the dishes and your mind's engaged somewhere else and suddenly a thought has just dropped in. Phone somebody or do this. And you do it and it's just at the right time. You see, that's God. And we've got to recognise that God is speaking more than what we're willing to listen. Why should people go to clairvoyance and spiritists to get a word when the Spirit of the living God is here? And God knows. Romans 1:16, it talks about the power of the gospel. And it's not changed. 1 Corinthians 1:18 talks about the cross and its power. Acts chapter 1 speaks about you will receive power. You know, do you get the idea of what God wants within each one of our lives? He wants the impact of his kingdom to be made on the earth. And I believe that in the days ahead, the church has got to be a church of ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. But how do we get there? I think that God gives us indications of ways to get there. I was a few months ago, I was talking with a Nigerian brother in Manchester. And he said this to me, and it stuck. It was one of those phrases that stuck with me. And, you know, the Africans have got something that we, on the whole, have lost. And this Nigerian brother said this. He says, it is illegal to have truth and not act upon it. Think about that. It's illegal to have truth and not act upon it. We've got the truth of the gospel. We've got the truth of the words of Jesus, of you will receive power, so that we can be men and women who operate in the power of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm saying that I'm not there yet, folks. Don't think I'm an expert, but there's a pursuit in my heart that says, God, that what I have seen, I want to see an increase of. And I want to see you doing more in the days ahead, because the world will not believe a church that is devoid of power. because it's just a different sort of meeting. I was lecturing at the Greek Bible Institute once, and one of the guys who was a pastor of a Greek evangelical church, he said he got one of his friends who was a Greek Orthodox to come to his church, and at the end of it he said, what do you think? Did you like it? He says, no different really. He says, it's just that you've got a different set of rules to us. Why? Because there was no power there. And we've got to have an encounter with God. And I want to encourage you daily to seek that encounter with God, to invite Him to presence Himself by His Holy Spirit in whatever you're about. But that's where risk comes in. And risk is to do things differently, to begin to think differently, to speak differently, to act differently, and to have a focus upon the supernatural action of God, who wants to be involved in every way. You know, in Psalm 103, it talks about, you shall renew your strength like the eagles. Now, that always puzzled me until I did some reading about eagles. You know, I love eagles. I love pictures of eagles. I've loved it when I've seen eagles, the way that they soar. But, you know, with eagles, they get thrown out of the nest. You know, mummy eagle gets hold of baby eagle, and she says, the only one way for you to fly, and she picks it up with a beak and flings it out from the mountaintop. And it's zooming all the way down until, well, I better use these. And it suddenly realizes it can fly. You know, and sometimes what God wants to do is to fling you and me out of the nest of our security and comfort. And so that we can actually begin to see that what is invested within us, that it actually works. But then I learned something else about eagles. Eagles become very vulnerable. They are the king of birds. Other birds are terrified of them. But there's a season in an eagle's life where it loses all its feathers. It goes completely bald, so it can't fly, and it's in its nest. And at that place, it is totally vulnerable from the blackbirds and even the sparrows. If they wanted to gang up and attack it, it becomes weak. And I believe that is a place that God wants to get you and me into. That place of weakness where we rely upon what He will then do. Because what happens then is the eagle regrows its feathers. It gets a brand new plumage, or whatever they call it. It comes brand new. So it's almost like it's been born again. And that's why the psalmist says, you will renew your youth like the eagle. We can have that new beginning. And I believe God wants to get us to that place because, you know, for some, it's time to grow new feathers in the areas where your feathers have been damaged or singed. Time to grow them. But it's also a time to renew our confidence in Him. We've heard it. I love it when we get these God moments from that opening verse from Philippians to the interpretation of that tongue, of what God is saying. You know, and I'm sat there listening to this, and I'm having a God moment. I'm thinking, whoa, God, you're in the house. You're doing something. And, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and somehow to attain resurrection of the dead from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider that I've got it yet. And I'm thinking, this is the apostle. He's had vision of Jesus. He's had angels at his side. He's had the Lord strengthening him. He's had words from God. He's seen the dead raised, demons cast out. And he's saying, not that I've got this yet. And I'm thinking, God, if he ain't got it, where are we? But he says, but I'm pressing on. And I want to encourage you this morning to have that desire, that if the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm pressing on, I'm going to press in to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me, then he wants to encourage you. Hear it right from the beginning of the service to that tongue and interpretation, that Christ wants you to take hold of that for which he has taken hold of you. Because that's your destiny. That's what he wants, for you to enter in. And it's no good just sitting there thinking, oh, well, this is just another Sunday morning. Tomorrow's coming. No. It's time for you to grab hold of things with your own hands and saying, God, I'm going to press in. I believe that there's ways that we can press in. We sang it. I woke up with that song this morning as I was thinking about that this message. And again, it was another God moment when Liz played, wait upon the Lord. She'll renew our strength. Those that wait upon the Lord. You know, waiting used to be a Pentecostal thing. I don't care whether you call it waiting, tarrying, or soaking, or whatever. But there's a place where we have to get aside where it's just you and God, and you let Him marinate you. You let Him soak you through with His presence so that you get the flavour and juices of heaven permeating your being. Because when you're in His presence, then you can act. Jesus only acted out of the presence of God. Sadly, in my life, I've acted a lot of times not from that place, but on what I know. Whereas God wants us more and more to come to be working from that place of rest, of resting in Him. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's from His presence, to soak in His presence. What does that mean? Find time in the day where you just switch off your phone and you sit yourself down and you put on some gentle worship music and just let your focus, turn your eyes upon Him and let heaven invade. You know, God comes close. Those that seek the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. It's out of that place. And I believe that, you know, years ago we used to have these tarrying meetings where people would come together and would be crying out to God, God, let your Holy Spirit come. And there was an unction there that cried out to, I think we've got to get back to it. God, let the fire fall. Revive my heart. Change. Work in this place. Lord, because we need you. We're not going to win Retford and the surrounding area by having nice meetings. Do you realise that? Otherwise, Jesus would have said, I have come that you would have meetings, and meetings in abundance, and nice ones. But He said, I have come that you might have life in all its fullness. What did He mean? The God sort of life invading us so we can touch others. That's why He said to the 72, go, I'm giving you authority. What does He say before He ascends? He says to His disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. We've not got a second class Holy Spirit. We've got the same Spirit as what Jesus had. And it's for you and for me. So I want to encourage you, please get on this quest of saying, God, I want to hunger and thirst for you. Draw me after you. Let us run together. Draw me, Lord. You know, have that. Do you remember years ago there used to be that Bisto advert? And you used to see the Bisto kids and they'd be out somewhere and they would go. And on the advert you would see this sort of aroma trail and they would. And they would run and they would go, ah, Bisto. You see, you're all getting older, aren't you? When you can remember adverts like that. But you see what God does, you know, and sometimes we miss the moment. And I believe that this morning, that God has given us one of those moments, the way things have come together, that He's saying, look, get the fragrance. See it. See what I'm wanting to do. And just, Jesus, I need you more. You know, and breathe in the fragrance of heaven. Let Him touch your life afresh. Let Him renew you like He renews the eagles. Let Him change you from the inside out. And where that passion and that desire after the power and move of the things of God, where it's grown faint, come into His presence. You know, one thing I've learnt with Jesus, He's the master of resurrection. And that what you think might be dead or dormant, He can resurrect it. He can resurrect it in the moment within you as you submit to Him. And I'm not just talking about miraculous signs and wonders, because I believe they really do flow out of being in the presence of God. But I'm talking about having that encounter with God in every aspect of your life. Whatever that need is, that whatever it is that seems to be too big for you to handle. Maybe God has put it there so that you'll learn a lesson and saying, yeah, it is too big. But together, as you lean upon me, see what I'll do. And you know, we have excluded God from a lot of stuff. We exclude him from our finances, from our walk. And God just wants to come back and say, let me have my rightful position because I'm the Lord. He doesn't share his position because he's the Lord. And right now, he invites you. Will you let me be Lord of that circumstance? Will you let me be Lord of that situation? Will you let me be Lord of that problem, that difficulty, that frustration? Whatever it is, will you let me be Lord? I know we're out of time. And I know we've already had people being prayed with, but I don't want to let this moment go. And even as I've been speaking, some of you have known that there's areas where you need to allow his kingdom to come. It's an unshakable kingdom, his kingdom. And if you know that there's areas that God, I need the kingdom of God to impact this. It might be in your business. Might be in your school. Might be wherever. You know, God isn't compartmentalized that he only works in religious ways. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's interested in every aspect of what interests you, interests him. And I just want to invite you to stand where you are and just say, God, I'm bringing this to you. And we're going to pray then together that the kingdom of God would impact those areas, that we would begin to see tangible results. Because I'm hungry for results. I'm hungry for results from the kingdom of God. I've seen some, but I want more. You know, a football team just doesn't want to win two games and amble through the rest of its season. It wants to win and get results. So let's pray. And I'm going to invite you, if that's you and you want God to invade areas of your life, then I'm going to invite you to stand. That we would see that tangible power of God. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. Lord, we stand, even now, and I'm standing myself, we stand in a position almost of poverty. Lord, where our cry is that we need you. Lord, we need you more. We need you in every aspect of our lives, Lord, because you are the Lord of life. And Lord, whether it's in areas of finance, you know each heart that is before you right now. You know those needs. And we would simply say, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Impact these areas and give us tangible results for the kingdom of God. Lord, let your glory come. Lord, let it fall in this place right now. Let it not end as this meeting comes to a conclusion. But Lord, let it go back into our homes, our places of work, with our families, that we would carry that aroma of heaven, that it would be like it was for your disciples when the religious people said, we know that these men have been with Jesus. Lord, because they carried the kingdom of God. Father, let us be carriers. Lord, let us be carriers of that kingdom. For the sake of the lost, Lord, and the glory of your name. Lord, let us be carriers of that kingdom of power and authority. Forgive us, Lord, when we've believed in another Jesus and another gospel that has become devoid of power and authority in these areas. But, oh God, come and presence yourself. Brood over us like that dove from heaven. Brood over us and let your kingdom come. Lord, I pray for breakthroughs in areas of finance. Lord, where people are crying out for finance, we pray for areas of breakthrough because it's yours, Lord. You own the silver and the gold and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Bring the kingdom of God breakthrough into those areas. Where there's guidance needed, you have said, Lord, that you would guide our steps. Release that kingdom guidance, Lord, for the days ahead. Where there's need of revelation, thank you that you are Alpha and Omega. You see all. So let, Lord God, I pray, each one see as you see and perceive what the Spirit of God is doing. Where there's needs, Lord, we've cried out to you so many times for miracles in health. And we cry out again, O God. And we say, Lord, would you move supernaturally that people would see you alone, our Lord. You alone have mastery over sickness and disease. And Father, for every other need that is represented here, we thank you that there is sufficiency in the kingdom of God. And we would simply say again, Lord God, let your kingdom come and be impacting in each one of these areas. For we ask it in the name of our supernatural King, who is full of power and authority, whose name is high over all. Whose name is high over all. And Lord, we would even plead that the power of the blood of the Lamb would set people free at this time. Lord, where people are standing and they know that there are bondages within their lives, we thank you that there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. Release that supernatural power, because we call upon you to do it. To do what only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as you go with that knowledge of he wants to do incredibly more than all you can ask or imagine. And all he wants is daily for us to say, God, do incredibly more in this situation. Impact. You know, I believe that as we get bold and start stepping out, we'll be amazed. We'll be saying, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Amen? Amen. Be blessed, Steve. Amen.